Going Linux, episode 210, listener feedback. Welcome to the Going Linux podcast. I'm your host, Larry Bushy. Whether you are new to Linux, upgrading from Windows to Linux, or just thinking about moving to Linux, this podcast will provide you with valuable information and advice that will help you in Going Linux. We hope that you'll find this and all our episodes helpful in learning about Linux and its applications and using them to get things done. In today's episode, listener feedback. Well, Bill's not here today. He had a family thing to take care of, so it's just me today. But it's me and all our listeners, well, as many listeners as have written in or sent in voicemail messages. So let's get started then. Our first voicemail is from Bob, and he's asking us if we've checked out Magia.
Hi, my name is Bob. I've been a listener for quite a few years. I live in Hartford, Connecticut. I called up the show a couple times, and you played a couple of my comments. Wanted to say hello there to Larry and Tom, and said to hear about Tom and Bill. Sorry to hear about Tom. And well, Bill just got promoted. I heard that on the latest podcast. Well, anyways, I'm just calling to see if any of you guys have checked out Magia. I saw it, that it rose pretty high on the DistroWatch, and I had some old laptops that I was probably going to get rid of because they have the non-PAE processor, which, you know, any Ubuntu distribution won't load on anymore. And I was surprised that it loaded right up. And I guess it's a fork from Mandriva. And I used my first distro that I ever used was Mandriva. Kind of liked it. And I was really surprised. It runs really fast. It's you know, those are just Pentium 4 processors, and not a lot of RAM. I think I got 2 gigs of RAM on them. And I think I got a 300 gig hard drive, and runs really well. I was really very impressed with it, and the operating system seems to be very smooth, and I was really impressed with it. It runs great on that laptop, so I don't have to get rid of those laptops anymore. And I'm going to keep playing around with it. So anyways, just thought I'd check in with you guys, say hello, and offer some comments on the Magia distro. Thanks a lot, guys, for all that you do, and keep up the good work. This is Bob from Hartford, Connecticut, and I'll say 73 because I am a hybrid operator myself. So 73.
Hey, thanks, Bob. And yeah, glad you like Magia. We may be giving that a try. At least Bill might be in the shorter term. he tends to try these things out more than I do. And just a note for you. Yes, Magia has come out of Mandriva, which you may or may not know, originally came out of Mandrake, which was at one time the most popular Linux distribution out there, arguably anyway. And so it's definitely worth taking a look at. So we may just do that. I don't know whether we'll have a review or not, but we'll take a look at it for sure and have some comments. So our first email is from Matthew, who provides us with quite a few tips, actually. Matthew writes, I would argue that all Linux distros have defaults, and no one ever uses a distro as it comes out of the box. Rather, we all tweak them. Most people just cannot get past not having a classic menu, for which there are two solutions. Classic menu indicator and Cairo Dock. Yes, Cairo has an option for a menu. I make several tweaks to Ubuntu when I install it on a new machine, like killing the global menu and scroll bar, switching back to Grub Legacy, enabling Compiz, changing to the elementary theme and Radiance, adding Conky, giving all menu bar icons permissions to run, and pulling the buttons back on the correct right side of the menu bar. I do the same with Zubuntu, and though the tweaks are different, the end result is two very similar desktops. You may want to look at Zubuntu 12.04 and adding XFCE 4.10 from the PPA, or just installing the latest release. Ubuntu/Zubuntu have so much other distros lack that it is not even close. PPAs abound, and as they are so prolific, there is simply 10 times more information about them than any other distro. Additionally, if we want Linux to succeed, Ubuntu is the face of Linux to the uninitiated and the only distro you can find on an OEM computer, period. Well, Matthew, actually, Xarezin provides you with a number of different choices on Linux distributions pre-installed on their hardware. But yeah, I guess Ubuntu is probably the most popular, even at Xarezin. Continuing with Matthew's email, Canonical is committed to this strategy, and I believe they will eventually succeed here, as they are on their way in China and other countries, as you know. Oh, by the way, I have been meaning to mention this to you, Steve McLaughlin, and other podcasters as a tip. The issues of dual booting and copying drives are so easy to overcome, yet they seem to baffle even seasoned Linux users. They are both easily remedied with a single tool that you already have, Gparted. For a fresh install, simply partition the disk from the live CD before you begin the install, and set the bootloader to run from the root partition of the distro you are installing. Then use the Super Grub Boot CD to boot from the new install. Then remove Grub 2 and reinstall Grub Legacy. Boot again from the older Super Grub CD, the one made for Grub Legacy, and you can change the boot partition to default to the new distro's location. If Windows is on the system, it leaves the MBR untouched, and Windows will be in the Grub menu as well, chain loading to the Windows loader. If you need to change the drive or partition locations of Windows or Linux, or move either to a larger or smaller drive or partition, there is an infinitely easier way to do it than fiddling with the DD command or CloneZilla, both of which can lead to disaster if you're not careful or familiar with them. Again, Gparted to the rescue. Simply click the partition you are going to move, then either right-click or select from the menu the option Copy. Then navigate to the new drive or partition and select Paste. This will byte copy the entire drive to the new drive or partition, and you can even resize it before you apply. It even gives it the same UUID, so Grub will work without error, assuming you are using UUID in lieu of SDA1, etc., to identify your partitions. If you are then inclined to keep both installs, you can use tune2fs, that's the word tune, T-U-N-E, the number 2 and the letters FS, to install a new UUID to the old partition. Then copy and paste it to the Grub menu so you can boot off of either. I have used this so I can have two identical installs of Ubuntu and then beat the snot out of one of them, testing all kinds of crazy things until I break it. And I have also used it to make a backup copy of perfectly tweaked system to a fresh hard drive. The possibilities are endless. Keep up the great work. Well, thank you, Matthew. That is excellent, excellent set of tips there. A lot of detail in that email. So those listeners who are trying to follow along, you might want to go back and rewind a couple of times to get all the detail out of that. Again, thanks, Matthew. Our next email is from a listener who would like to remain anonymous and believes we shouldn't use or recommend Mint. Dear Larry, when you switched to Linux Mint, it saddened me. In fact, it shocked me. I know Unity was rough going on Natty, but it became usable in Oneric and, in my humble opinion, the best desktop on any OS in Precise. I have a laundry list of reasons why Ubuntu and Zubuntu are better than Mint, and the reasons I use them. Puppy too, but that's for another email. This email is to simply point out the fact that there are moral reasons not to use mint, especially if you are American, Jewish, Christian, or any combination thereof. I could elucidate this point, but the link below, and we'll have that link in the show notes, of course, but the link below states the issue better than I ever could. Make sure you read the comments and take the respective links to get the whole story, like how just using Mint puts Google dollars in their pocket. By the way, let me know if you miss having a third person. I'd be interested in possibly becoming chief executive or something other. Well, thank you, Anonymous, for that. And I've clicked through that link, and it appears that Clem, the originator of Mint OS, has some political views that some folks may find a little disturbing. Obviously, our anonymous listener found them disturbing as well. And although I have a personal position on this, I have learned that expressing my personal views in public has no place on a podcast. And I see that Clem has also learned this lesson and has removed his post from the project-related pages and put them on his personal blog. I'm sure that if you dig into the personal views of any public figure, you'll find something that someone will find offensive or at least disagree with, including Canonical's Mark Shuttleworth, the originator of Ubuntu and Zubuntu that our anonymous listener mentioned. And although I won't publicize my personal views on the issue, I am reading this email from our anonymous listener as a public service so that you can make up your own minds on the issue. And I'm not going to stop recommending Linux Mint because this podcast is pragmatic and not political. So thanks once again. Oh, and regarding the chief executive minion position, I haven't decided yet whether we need a third co-host going forward, but if I decide we do, I'll look you up. Gus wrote in with a similar question. Dear Larry and Bill, I was just wondering, with Bill's recent promotion to co-host, do you guys have any plans to get a new chief executive minion? I like the dynamic of three hosts. If that isn't the direction you decide to go, I'm perfectly fine with that, but I was just wondering about it. Gus. Well, again, Gus, thanks. If I decide we want to go back to a three-host show, I will definitely look you up as well. Our next email is from Andy, who has taken the plunge into Linux. Greetings from Amsterdam. Firstly, thanks for doing a computer show that any old idiot like myself can understand and enjoy. I've been using both Macs and Windows machines for years, Macs by preference and Windows by necessity. Macs have gone downhill rapidly, with them concentrating on the Mac, quote, lifestyle rather than the innovations that were their trademark, and Windows are, well, Windows. So rather than continually moan about the state of affairs, I started to look into Linux. Your podcast is a major contributing factor for me taking the plunge. I've downloaded a few distros as live DVDs and had a play around. Linux Mint 14 KDE, Linux Mint Debian Edition, Cinnamon, Ubuntu, Kubuntu, and Pingai. I have to say I have been very pleasantly impressed. Linux Mint Debian Edition Cinnamon is my favorite, and Ubuntu being my least favorite because of the bloody awful Unity desktop. Kubuntu is Ubuntu the way it should be done, and Pingai OS 12.04 is a quirky Ubuntu-based OS, and is just plain fun. Having said all that, I'll get to my question. I would like to install LMDE and Pingai OS as a dual boot with LMDE as the primary OS. The install is going to be a clean install on a relatively new HP laptop in an Intel dual-core 2 GHz processor, 4 gig of RAM on 160 GB hard drive. I guess I can share the swap partition. Here's the kicker. I would like to share the home partition for ease of access. The reason I would like to do this is to have a Debian-based OS and an Ubuntu-based OS without having to use a VM. Later, I will install Debian 7.0 VirtualBox in LMDE and Kubuntu in Pingai OS, and maybe Windows 7 in one of them. This is just so I can learn how to use the command line in a safe environment. Well, that has left me breathless. If you can provide any insight on how to do this, it would be fantastic. Many thanks, and keep the great podcasts coming. They are something I look forward to each week. And Andy ends with a Dutch greeting at the end. I'm not sure that I can pronounce it because I'm not proficient or even knowledgeable in Dutch, but I hope this is a nice saying. I'm sure it is. Groetjes is how you spell it. And I'm assuming that means greetings or something like that. And he signs it, Andy. No, I'm not Dutch. I'm just an Englishman who has made the Netherlands my home. Well, thanks, Andy. And I like your move into Linux. We'll consider this a gone Linux story, if you will. Your question about sharing home partitions between multiple Linux installations. So the first thing to do, I think, is to create a separate home partition. So on your first Linux install, what you'll want to do is go into the partitioner, the manual partitioner, rather than letting the installer choose the partitions for you, and assign a separate partition as the home partition. What this will do is ensure that you can keep that home partition separate from the operating system itself, or from the various operating systems in this case. And as a result, if you decide to install additional Linux distributions, you can point it at that home partition if you wish, or let it install its own home partition and just point to the additional partition separately to access files and various other things you may have on there. But in terms of having a home partition common between multiple operating systems, with a separate home partition, what you can then do on subsequent installations of additional Linux distributions, again, use the manual partitioner, and this time choose as your home directory or home folder the existing partition, and choose not to format it. That's the critical thing. Otherwise, you'll be overwriting all the data that's in there. So to wrap up or to sum up, on your first installation, install the Linux distribution with a separate home partition using the manual partitioner. Or as Matthew had suggested, you might want to use gparted in advance and set that all up ahead of time. Then, as you install the next Linux distribution, use the manual partitioner again, choose the existing home partition as home for the new distribution, and ensure that you do not format that home partition. That should do it for you, and rinse and repeat, as they say, for the other distributions that you may want to install. Thanks again, Andy. And that will end it for our short listener feedback episode this time. Our next episode is Computer America number 63. And as always, you can go to the articles and show notes at our website, that is goinglinux.com, for more information, detailed instructions, screencasts, and illustrations. And remember, if you have a topic you want us to cover on the show, use the forums to leave your topic suggestion in the thread labeled Topic Suggestions. You can get to the forum by going to forum.goinglinux.com. If you want to support our efforts, please click the donate button while you're on our webpage. And you can also send us an audio comment by email if you wish. We'll play it on the show. Our email address is goinglinux@gmail.com. Our voicemail is +1 904 468 7889. And you can follow our show updates on Twitter. Tweet us at goinglinux or join our Google Plus community. Look for Going Linux Podcast. You can download our episodes from our website, or you can play them right from the show notes page. Until next time, Thanks for listening. Theme music provided by Mark Blasco at podcastthemes.com.